Before we turn to our scripture reading from James chapter 1, if you would turn in the Forms and Prayers books to page 257, 257 in the Forms and Prayers books, the top there, or we find there Lord's Day 52. We're going to consider this morning question and answer 127 regarding the sixth petition, the final petition of the Lord's Prayer. 257 in the Forms and Prayers books, Lord's Day 52, question 127, which we will give our response to together. The question, what does the sixth petition mean? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil means we are so weak that we cannot stand on our own for a moment, and our sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh never stop attacking us. And so, Lord, uphold us and make us strong by the power of your Holy Spirit so that we may not be defeated in this spiritual fight, but may firmly resist our enemies until we finally win the complete victory. We turn to James. James begins in chapter 1 talking, as we know, about the testing of the believer's faith. James 1, verses 2 through 18 for our reading this morning. This is God's word. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass, its flower falls and its beauty perishes, so also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. May God bless the reading and the consideration of his word to us. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, with the fifth petition, the one that we considered just a couple of weeks ago, our Lord Jesus taught us there to deal with our past and our present sins by teaching believers to humbly ask for forgiveness for those sins. And because our God never does an incomplete job, he also then makes provision for our future, as he teaches us to seek strength in the face of possible future spiritual dangers and sin. And that makes sense, of course, because the redeemed child of God, the one in whom the old man of sin is being put to death more and more, and the new man of righteousness is coming to life more and more, and the redeemed child of God desires to please God. The redeemed child of God desires to be pleasing to God at all times in the midst of this life and this world. Surrounded by the world of evil, the believer desires to walk in that newness of life, and the child of God will shout with the Apostle Paul a resounding by no means or certainly not to the question, shall we continue in sin that grace may increase? Absolutely not. By grace and by the influence of the Holy Spirit of God, his child takes the command that James gives in chapter 4. He takes that command seriously when James says, resist the devil. Resist him. Stand up against him. Put up a guard against the devil. Because, beloved, when you know that something is bad and dangerous for you, you stay away from it, right? Right? Boys and girls, there are many examples that we could give. Just a couple of them. If you think about gasoline, you know that gasoline is dangerous, and it's especially dangerous when it comes in contact with fire. So you don't mess around with gasoline, and you certainly don't light fire to it. Or you know that it is dangerous to walk through broken glass with your bare feet, so you don't do that. You don't walk through broken glass with your bare feet. Beloved, we know that Satan and sin and evil are dangerously deadly, so we are called to resist them. Yet we also know that it's only possible to do this clothed with the strength of the Lord. And this petition, you see, is a prayer for exactly that. It is a prayer for the strength of the Lord that we might stand firm against the forces of evil. With this sixth petition, therefore, of the Lord's Prayer, the believer is called to grateful living, resisting evil in the Lord's strength. And first of all, because of a true need, and just let me say, we're going to spend the vast majority of our time this morning on this first point. We are called to resist evil in the Lord's strength because of a true need. Again, after teaching his people to ask for the forgiveness of all of our sins, our Lord Jesus taught us to pray and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And indeed, we need to understand what that petition means. And just a minor point, because some I know say from the evil one. Is it from evil or is it from the evil one? Well, the truth is, in the original Greek construction, it's written the same. You really can't tell. Some theologians would prefer one over the other, but there's really not strong evidence in support of either way. And we really cannot tell what our Lord Jesus intended. And the truth is, I would submit to you, is that it's not a dilemma either way, because the evil one is the author of evil in all ways, shapes, or forms, and all evil is intimately connected with the evil one. So either way, both are included. And maybe it would be helpful for us to consider what we are not asking when we pray this petition. What are we not asking? Well, beloved, we are not asking that our Father would never allow us to be tempted or tested or tried. How wonderful that would be, wouldn't it? But that's not what our Lord Jesus taught us to ask. Maybe like me, and me for a long time, you thought that's what we were being taught to ask for. However, that would simply contradict the clear teaching of Scripture, as we know well, that Jesus said, if they hated me, they will hate you. And we know that Scripture clearly teaches that believers will be subject to persecution. All these things would cause temptation and testing. Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 says, put on the whole armor of God. But why? Well, because of Satan's fiery darts, arrows that he continually shoots at us one after the other. And even that particular verse of comfort for the believer in times of trial and temptation points to this reality. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape. The truth is, beloved, that the very moment that you and I open our eyes in the morning after a night of sleep, temptation is right before those same two eyes, whether you look at the TV or the computer or look in your neighbor's window or see what's walking down the street or you go to the office or go to the grocery store. Wherever you and I look, the tempter will be hard at work. And even the Catechism teaches the truth of Scripture from 1 John when it says, when it speaks of our sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh. And the Catechism answer also reminds us of the Scripture's teaching about the spiritual warfare. And you see, in order to never ever be tempted or tested or tried, one would need to be completely removed from this world and this life. And of course, that's what we look forward to one day, don't we? But that day is not today. The day is not this very hour, because we're all here. Indeed, beloved, temptation constantly surrounds us because of our sworn enemies. And the word "our" there means the believers. The believers' sworn enemies. And before describing those sworn enemies, beloved, we need to make a distinction with regard to that English word temptation, as it's used in Scripture. Early on, that word in our usage had two meanings. It could be used in two ways, two really antithetical, contrasting ways. It could be used on the one hand to entice, to attract, to lure into sin, or it also meant trials or afflictions of faith. Now, our English Standard Version, as well as some other versions, this one does a good job of distinguishing those two ideas. Though in some translations, in James 1, the word temptation does double duty. It's used for both ideas. But what's the difference then between temptation and trials or tempting or testing? Well, simply, beloved, trials are for the believer's good. Trials are for, testing is for the believer's good, even if it doesn't seem like it or feel like it at the time. And temptation is for the believer's destruction. And we see that. This is made clear by James himself. Trials, verses 2, 3, and 12. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Then verse 12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. But then he goes on, he turns it to temptations, beginning in verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Temptation, beloved, is any attempt because of our weakness and because of Satan's craftiness, it is any attempt because of those things to lead God's people away from the path of righteousness and cause them to fall into sin, often by making the way of and service to sin look right and attractive and to feel good. Because after all, we know, especially from the society in which we live today, feelings rule. If it feels right, it must be right. I think we see that in a particular way in this so-called Pride Month. I heard an interview just the other day with a man who had come out, I don't know when it was, but he grew up in a conservative Christian family, very strict Christian family. And oh, now the freedom he has and how good he feels having come out. And then the worst thing that he said was how liberating it was when he realized that God loves him just the same now as he did before. Feelings rule. But in contrast to temptation, as someone has said, trial presupposes something good in man which is put to the test and is improved, purified, and strengthened by the testing process. Gold and silver are tried in order to purify them, to separate the foreign elements in them, and to enhance the beauty of their luster. James is clear that God does not tempt. That temptation is inconsistent with the character of God, but God tries. He tests his workmanship And through that, he works to purify and to strengthen our faith. And why does he do that? Well, we've been considering this from 1 Peter, haven't we? And in chapter 1, verse 7 again, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, so that's the first thing, to prove one's faith real and genuine, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Beloved, to contrast temptation and trials a bit more. Trials or testing of faith are meant to prepare the child of God for eternal life. But the temptations of evil and the evil one are meant for one's eternal destruction. Trials or testing are founded on the love of God. Temptations are founded on hatred of God. Trials and testing, again, are always for the good of those who love God, and they are always for His honor, and we should never, ever, ever want them removed when God is using them in that way. Temptations are always for evil and seek to dishonor God. They are the work of the devil for leading us to sin. Trials, testing of one's faith, always present the truth. Temptations always present the lie, and again, always make sin in whatever form look luring and attractive and good and as something worth going after. So temptation, again, makes sin look preferable to the way of obedience and the way of righteousness and the way of holiness and the way of faithfulness to God. And we see this distinction, again, right at the beginning of history in Genesis chapter 3. God's trial with regard to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil came with the truth, and the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. But Satan's temptation was covered with the lie, no, you won't die, you will be like God. In the Christian life, the same situation can be and often is both a trial and a temptation. A trial from God on the one hand, but Satan uses it to tempt on the other hand. The early New Testament church, for example, there were many martyrs for the faith who were tried with a choice to confess Caesar as Lord or to remain true to the Lord Jesus Christ and be tortured to death. Yet at the very same time, the devil tempted their flesh to save their own physical flesh and to side with the world in favor of Caesar and against Christ Jesus, putting themselves first instead of God's honor. We face all kinds of situations too. I'm sure you have, as I have. It may be a job promotion. It may be a particular position that you want to take, but yet you would have to compromise your Christian faith and your Christian life in some way in order to have that position. Boys and girls, you see your mom's purse on the countertop. You know there's money in there. What are you going to do? She's not around. God's trial for you is, are you going to do the right thing? Are you going to leave it or maybe even put that person in a safe place? But Satan is tempting you to say, hey, there's money in there. She might not even notice if you take a little bit and just think what you are able to buy with that money. Young people, young men, you become attracted to a young woman. Young women, you become attracted to a young man and you begin to date and you're alone and the passions are running high. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I've used my cancer experience, I think even from this pulpit before, and there are many other situations similar. For example, losing a loved one to death, especially at a young age. And Satan is there tempting us, saying, how can you believe in God? Because if he really loved you, he would not let that happen. Because God is love, you know. However, God is testing you and me. Me in the sense of saying, do you trust me? Even if it costs you your life, or for those who have lost a loved one, even though it costs you that, do you trust me? Do you trust me that I know what's best for you? Do you trust me that I will do what's best for you? Because I love you. Now, beloved, I trust that you understand that temptation in the sixth petition is talking about Satan, the work of Satan and evil for our sin and destruction. Again, our need is so very great because of our sworn enemies. Our sworn enemies are those, as Psalm 2 says, that take a stand against the Lord and against His anointed. They have sworn to oppose God and to oppose anything that He commands, and they have sworn to promote everything that is against Him. The devil, the world, and our own flesh are our mortal enemies. And they desire our physical hurt, and they desire our spiritual death at any cost. First of all, the devil. The Bible makes it clear that he is our number one enemy, and that is why we need the armor of God against his flaming arrows. And that's why Peter calls him in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, our adversary. He is the one who is completely against us, and he is a roaring lion prowling around seeking whom he may devour. Yet the truth is, he doesn't always look like a dangerous lion. He deceitfully transforms himself as an angel of light, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11. And that's why, young people, every decision you are called upon to make, the Word of God alone is to be your standard. It is to be your foundation. And Satan, we know, is the prince. He is the ruler of another sworn enemy, namely the world. And that's talking, of course, about the world that is apart from God, that world that exalts man and treats God as dead. It is that world of sin to which I trust we can all say in our day, our eyes are being opened more and more and more to. That world is a tool in the hand of Satan, and therefore that world is at enmity with God. And beloved, when you and I are tempted to get friendly with the world, we need to remember what James says, that friendship with the world is enmity against God. And as John says in 1 John 2, verse 15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And our Lord Jesus said in John chapter 15, 18 and 19, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. It is a sworn enemy. And again, we all know, I trust, by experience, the temptations of the world, and especially through every single medium, mode, or method, especially of communication, by which it tries to tempt us to lust and to be filled with greed and spite, to envy, to covet. And even to compromise by trying to make you and me feel guilty if and when we don't agree with them. We see that again in this very month of so-called pride. That if somehow you and I don't display on their behalf some sort of symbols of pride, then that can only mean one thing, that we hate them as people. Simply not true. Yeah, beloved, we also know that all of this is indeed difficult, and sadly, it's often effective because of that third sworn enemy that tempts us to willingly give in to these temptations, and that is our own flesh. Our own flesh is still subject to sin, the believer's flesh too. As our Lord Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Paul gave expression to that in Romans chapter 4 with regard to himself. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul says, for the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. And he's talking about doing the things that you want to do as a believer there. The flesh has been described as the traitor inside the fortress, because that flesh opens the doors, if you will, to the enemies from without. The Catechism says again, rightly so, that these never stop attacking us. The attack is constant. Yet, beloved, we cannot overlook the sovereignty of God here, because His divine providence for your life and my life includes these tempting us. However, they do the tempting. And since we know ourselves truly, and since we know that our need is so great, because as the Catechism also rightly says, we are so weak, we are called to resist evil in the strength of the Lord. Secondly, then, and again, these last two much more briefly, with confident prayer. resisting with confident prayer, bathing ourselves in prayer, in Christ alone. Again, our Lord Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Don't even try. But then Paul comes along and beautifully says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And think about Paul. Think about the context of Paul when he wrote those words. He wasn't living high there. He was not enjoying a great and a wonderful life where everything was going his way. He was experiencing hardships, prison and chains and you name it, and everything else that he had suffered for the gospel. And through those hardships, he faced both temptation and testing. Confident prayer for deliverance. Our prayer in this petition is that God would deliver us from evil so that in times of temptation, we might stand strong. In other words, God, don't let me even taste evil and begin to think that it tastes good to me, but may it taste horrible to me, so that when I come face to face with temptation, I might not enter into it. Our answer says to uphold us and make us strong by the power of your Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit we know, talking about the Spirit of Jesus Christ, whom Christ gave to you and me. That Spirit who came to take up residence in the hearts and lives of his redeemed people. He is our strength. He alone is the one who gives us confidence and courage to stand firm in the midst of the battle. He gives us power from on high, and only in the power of the Holy Spirit then, beloved, are we able to pray with regard to the devil that we might be clothed with the armor of God. Only then are we made able to pray regarding the world to keep from falling in love with it. And only then are we able to pray with regard to our own flesh that God would help us to crucify it. We live by and we stand in the grace of God and the grace of God alone. And beloved, if he would remove his restraining hand even for a moment, we would only follow that which is natural to us, the devil, the world, and our own flesh. Yet in him and in him alone are we able to confess that the joy of the Lord is my strength. And beloved, that joy includes, as Paul says in Romans chapter 8, 31, if God is for us, who can be against us? And the joy is found in that we know the answer. Nothing, no one can be against us. And that joy is found a bit later when Paul says later in chapter 8 of Romans, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So then why are we able to pray this petition and to do so effectively by the grace of God? Because Jesus Christ is victorious over our sworn enemies. And because he equips you and me to resist evil into the Lord's strength, finally, thirdly then, toward a blessed result. And that blessed result, indeed, it's simple. We know it's deliverance in this life and the next. Again, uphold us and make us strong by the power of your Holy Spirit so that we may not be defeated in this spiritual fight, but may firmly resist our enemies until we finally win the complete victory. In this life, we pray that we might be securely clothed with the armor of God. Again, as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. It's only in the strength of the Lord that we can stand against and resist evil. It's only in the strength of the Lord that we will not give in. Yet we also know it's true that when we play with the fire of evil, God may remove his hand of grace and let us fall for a time. He may very well do that. He's done that for me. I suspect he's done that for you. However, our assurance that it's only temporary and that he will not completely let go, he will draw us closer to himself. Doesn't mean it's not going to be a painful experience. It doesn't mean that there will be absolutely no consequences to bear here. There may be consequences for the rest of your and my life. But all of this, too, is a part of the all things of Romans 8:28. All things work together for the good of those who love him. And that result, again, is guaranteed. We go back to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with it the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape. Why? That you may be able to endure it. The result is guaranteed. And his strengthening power and influence goes on throughout our life, then preparing us for that complete victory until we finally win the complete victory. It's not a question of if. We will win. We will gain it. It is a sure thing because Jesus Christ secured it for those that he taught to pray this prayer. It is a blessing from God because it is indeed a perfect gift. Verse 17 of James 1 again, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Dear people of God, in this life, our prayer is that God would equip us with his strength to stand firm in the midst of our enemies and not suffer defeat. That he would equip us through his strength that we might be able to resist the devil, which again is only done through true faith and exercising that faith. And this prayer looks forward then to the next life when that armor can be taken off and that armor can be put aside. Do you remember why? Because all of Christ's enemies will have been put under his feet, and we will have been glorified body and soul to the new heaven and the new earth, where the forces of evil will absolutely no longer exist. So do you look forward to that day? Do you look forward to that day when that final goal will be reached in which our sworn enemies will be no more, and in which the dangers of sin and death will no longer be a threat, the day when complete salvation and perfect victory are here? Do you look forward to that day? Oh, I know it's hard to imagine, isn't it? It's hard to imagine, especially, again, in the day in which we live, when wickedness completely abounds. We see it scattered all over the news reports. But I pray that you do look forward to it. And together, may we pray, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Because if you're here this morning and your desire is to dine with the devil, if your desire is to have fellowship with the world, if your desire is to indulge in the flesh, then you are being called to repent of your sins, to forsake your old nature, and again to seek the Lord while he may be found, and to call upon him while he is near, because the day will come when he cannot be found, when he is not near. And you see, if this describes you, you must understand that enmity with God in this life will result in eternal separation from God and death and destruction in the next. But the promise of the gospel is plain and clear that Jesus Christ died on the cross. He paid the price for all of the sins of those who would believe in him by grace through faith. And he not only resisted the temptation of Satan, but he completely defeated him. And our confidence is that even in our weakness, he is strong, he is victorious, and his promise is sure. What promise is that? We'll look again at James 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. So, dear congregation, as we have now come to the end of the petitions of the Lord's Prayer, notice, maybe you've noticed that they do form a whole. This brief prayer that our Lord Jesus taught is indeed complete. God's name and the revelation of himself at the beginning bring us the grace by which we will be delivered from this wicked world. And this prayer then gives the Christian encouragement. It gives you and me confidence. It gives us strength in this life. And the Holy Spirit of God uses this prayer to prepare the child of God for complete victory in the life to come. Let's pray together. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for indeed your complete work, your all-sufficient hand of blessing, indeed for the truth and the richness and the completeness of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, we would pray, teach us to pray. Oh, we know the words. We can rattle them off by heart. But may it not only be from our heads and from our lips, but may it truly be from our hearts. And that through that we might find that encouragement, that we might find that comfort and that strength by which you would preserve us throughout this life and prepare us for the glory of heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.